You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, follow us wherever you get your podcast. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order. It was not a great weekend for the Mets as they dropped their series against the Miami Marlins, but now they at least get to return home to start a 7-game homestand this week. On today's show, in the first segment, I will recap this weekend's series. In the second segment, I want to go through the numbers on all these replacement players for the Mets and see which of these guys, if any, has a chance to stick with the Mets and who is really helping the team right now. I'll also give you your latest injury update. These things are getting pretty long and tough to get through because there just seems to be more and more players going on the injury list each day, but hopefully some are on the mend and back with the team very soon. Finally, in the third segment, I will preview the upcoming series as the Mets will take on the Colorado Rockies in a 4-game set. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter, at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMorizeOnline.com. So the Mets looked like a team on a mission, a team that could overcome all odds on Friday night as they found a way to win the makeshift Mets, as Justin Toscano coined them on Twitter. Just found a way, and it was a team win where there was some great defense, some great pitching, and ultimately a late rally put them over the top. But in the first inning, the Mets jumped out to an early lead as Francisco Lindor hit an RBI double. He then scored a run later on in that same inning as part of that 2-run first. Tomas Nito had an RBI double in the fourth inning, and so the Mets had a 3-1 lead throughout a good portion of this game. Marcus Stroman was outstanding through six innings, had allowed just one run, had 8 strikeouts and no walks. But in the seventh inning, he walked the leadoff batter and then was pulled from the game for Miguel Castro. I thought at the time maybe they should have let Stroman stick it out a little bit longer. He really was at the top of his craft, only at 89 pitches. And Castro promptly gives up a 2-run homer, which tied the game. Now, in extras, this one got to the 12th inning. That's right, the 12th inning, despite the ghost runner starting each inning on second base since the 10th. So, 2 innings of futility between two teams that are basically the Spider-Man meme when it comes to bad offense. The Marlins and the Mets right now just don't have really any bats to turn to. Obviously, the Marlins had way more offense overall this weekend than the Mets, but I think between this game and between what we saw on Saturday night, you could tell neither of these teams can really put runs on the board. But in that 12th inning, the Mets finally broke through. Jake Hager got a base hit. The ghost runner started on second, ended up at third. After Wilfredo Tovar got out, Khalil Lee picked up his first career hit, ripping a double, which gave the Mets a lead. Jonashree Fargas then had a triple, which scored the other two. Fargas was thrown out at home trying to score on an inside-the-park home run, but the Mets had a 3-run lead, which they nearly blew in the bottom half of the inning, but ultimately they get out of it. They get a win. That was a great team victory where you thought maybe the Mets were on to something, and for the rest of the weekend, everything kind of went downhill. On Saturday, Joe Lucchese was outstanding. First time this year where he was just clearly on top of everything. His pitches looked great. He was able to sequence things well. He had 8 strikeouts in the first 4 innings, 43 pitches, 34 strikes, which is why it was so shocking. The Mets pulled him after 4 innings to put in Sean Reed Foley. Foley was good, had 2 strong innings. Then in the 3rd inning of work, gave up a couple hits, and ultimately a run came around once Aaron Loop came into the game on a sacrifice fly. The Mets tied the game up in the top of the 8th inning. Again, this was a low-scoring affair. Dominic Smith hit an RBI single at the time. He was 9 for his last 14 when it came to hitting with runners in scoring position. So Dominic Smith has been a pretty consistent run producer as of late, and they need him to do even more while this lineup continues to deal with a ton of players that, quite frankly, are not Major League caliber. But the Mets lose this game in the 9th inning. Drew Smith came in. Fargas made an unbelievable catch that ultimately will probably go forgotten because the Mets lose this game, but just full extension, diving play, snow coned it, outstanding out there in center field. But Smith ends up giving up a 2-run walk-off homer to Garrett Cooper. And then on Sunday, Jordan Yamamoto got the start against his former team, had a terrible second inning, gave up 5 runs, 4 of them earned because Francisco Lindor was charged with an error on what could have been an inning-ending double play. Kind of a tough play at first base as Yamamoto came over to try to cover after Dominic Smith fielded the ground ball to start the double play. Yamamoto couldn't come up with it. The ball rolls into the dugout, which allowed an extra runner to come in and score. Tough error for Lindor. It wasn't a terrible throw. But overall, Yamamoto had no control of that inning, gave up all those runs. And with this lineup, when you're staring at a 5-run hole, the game could have ended in that second inning. It was over. And so the Mets lose this series. They did scratch a run in that game to lose by a score of 5-1. But overall, they lose to the Marlins in this series. And they are now just 1.5 games ahead of the Braves and the Phillies, who are tied in second in this division at 23-24. The Marlins are 2 games back now. And the Nationals are 2.5 games back. It is an entire division of bad teams right now. Quite honestly, the Mets have been the best of the bad teams. They still have the opportunity to get a lot better, obviously, as all the players will come off the injured list. Right now, if the Mets can just play as close to 500 as possible, they might give up that division lead to one of those teams, the Braves, the Phillies, hell, even the Marlins. But as long as you keep it close, this is still a Mets team that can take off, and they are going to get a huge boost on Tuesday when Jacob DeGrom returns off the injured list. I'll give you a full slate of injury updates and talk about some of these replacement level players and what they've done so far in just a minute. Investing can be complicated, but whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy. They can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences you control. Wealthfront can even help you lower the taxes you pay as you invest. And best of all, it's automatic. They are trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. All you need is $500 to get started. You can grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. That's wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB to start growing your savings today. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB and get started now. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I host Locker Rooms on Wednesday during the game, so you can get in on the conversation you listen to here every day. Go download the free Locker Room app now, which is currently available on all iOS devices. It's also available for Androids with a beta version. Be sure to create your profile, link your Twitter, and then join the MLB group for the latest league updates. Follow me at Finkelstein Ryan and you'll be notified when my room goes live. Again, I go live on Wednesdays, usually when the Mets are playing, for a watch party. So I cannot wait to hear everyone's thoughts there. I will see you on Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. So before we talk about the Mets injuries, I want to talk about the replacement players. We have seen a lot of guys take at bats for the Mets that none of us were anticipating this early in the season. And for the most part, it hasn't gone well. Wilfredo Tovar, 2-for-8 so far, has drawn a walk. Cameron Maben, the big trade acquisition, which the Mets got for the price of a single dollar, has played to that unfortunate status of being a player that's not that valuable. He's 0-for-16 with 9 strikeouts. Can't really sugarcoat that one. Does have a walk, did steal a base, but overall has not given the Mets much. He is staring down a DFA whenever the Mets get an opportunity to get some major leaguers back on the roster from the injured list. I just don't see him having a long tenure with the Mets right now, especially with these early results. And for Khalil Lee, it hasn't really been much better. He did have that clutch double, but he's 1-for-15 with 10 strikeouts. Has made some nice plays in the outfield. Clearly a really athletic prospect that has upside. When he's connected, he's hit the ball hard, but he has rarely connected. He just looks completely overmatched at this level. He needs that seasoning in AAA. It's just unfortunate right now that the Mets are tasked with just playing him because they don't really have any alternatives. You know, with Pete Alonso going on the injured list and Dom moving back to first base, you got 3 spots in the outfield you got to fill. And the Mets are just trying to figure it out. But right now, not a lot of production from those guys. Jake Hager, who was part of the big rally to get the Mets their 1 win over the weekend, got DFA'd the following day. Tough business baseball is. But the Mets needed a roster spot, and he was the casualty. He was 1-for-8 before being DFA'd with 3 strikeouts. We will see if he passes through waivers and ends up back with the Mets in Syracuse. Brandon Drury was added to the roster over the weekend, a guy that has some major league experience, brings a lot of positional versatility. He can play the corner spots in the outfield. He can play all 4 positions in the infield. But there's a reason why this guy has really struggled to find consistency on major league rosters since his times back in Arizona. He just has not been a good offensive player for years now. And I don't expect that to change, quite honestly. But he will probably get some opportunities this week. You would imagine he's going to get some at-bats. We'll see what he does with them. Patrick Mazika, another guy. He's been on this bench for a little bit now. He's like an elder statesman, despite the fact that he's a rookie. But he has just been here before a lot of these guys. Had his 2 big fielder's choices that got him a lot of praise with those RBIs and those spots, the walk-offs. He's 1-for-10 with 1 strikeout, 4 RBIs, but overall still has not done much. Has shown some power, hit the home run, so you know I like Mazika. It's when your roster is at the state the Mets roster is at, and you need James McCann and Tomas Nito to be pinch hitters off your bench, it's good to have a third catcher. So Mazika brings that to the roster right now. He's probably one of the last of these replacement guys that will eventually be taken off the roster. I don't see his spot going anywhere anytime soon. Let's get to the one guy that's playing well. Jonashwe Fargas. He has played well enough that I think I'm finally pronouncing his name correctly. He's 6-for-20. He's batting .300. But what's really impressive outside of the awesome defense in center field is the fact that of those 6 hits, 4 of them have been for extra bases. He has 3 doubles and a triple. That is very impressive for a rookie. This is a guy that, you know what, has a lot of tools that he brings to the table. A guy who can play a good center field, has a ton of speed, and showing a little bit of pop in his bat. He's the only one who hasn't looked fazed by this opportunity and has been thriving in it. So I'm not saying that Fargas is long for this roster for the remainder of the season. But if injuries keep popping up and he keeps playing this way, Who knows? Who knows? I mean, if Michael Conforto is down for a really long time, Fargas has a chance here. He has a chance to stay with this team for a little bit. And you know what? It's good to see someone make the most of their opportunity. So I had to shout out Fargas because he's been one of the lone bright spots on this roster. I did want to look at the stats of Jose Peraza and Jonathan Villar as well, just because it really kind of cements the point that this roster just does not have a lot on it right now when it comes to run production. Peraza is 8 for 38. He's batting .211, a .268 on base percentage, a .342 slugging percentage. Not good. And it's better than a lot of these guys. He's given them more of a major league at bat when he steps in there, even if he's getting out most of the time. It looks a little bit more competent, I guess. Jonathan Villar, there's some Mets fans who will tell you that he's having an unbelievable season. And I'm not here to rain on any parades. I'm not trying to continue to bash the guy. He has been everything the Mets could have hoped for. He's come through multiple times in big spots, has 4 home runs. He scored 13 runs. He has 12 RBIs on this team. That's all great. That's more production than they've gotten from a lot of their other guys. But he's still batting .210. His on-base percentage is below .300 at .291. His slugging percentage is at .371. He has a .662 OPS. He has not had a above-average offensive season. He has been above average what the Mets have on their roster. But it's a low bar he's climbing over, and that just continues to forward the point that this team offensively is just nowhere near what we thought they would be, and this dates back to before the injuries. Brandon Nimmo and JD Davis were both having good offensive seasons before their injuries, but outside of those guys and Tomas Nito, I would venture to say that nobody on this roster has met expectations for what they were supposed to be offensively. And that just can't hold up. But the fact that the Mets are still in a pretty good position right now, that just speaks to how good this team can be once they get healthy and once these guys start to take off. I do want to go through all the injury updates right now, though. So you got Kevin Pillar had surgery to repair the multiple fractures in his nose. That happened on Friday, his surgery. They said he can begin light activities by Monday. I'm just going to throw this out there. Pillar, the warrior that he is, he's going to make it back before a lot of guys on the injured list. I just have a feeling, especially because, you know, for him, it's basically just a waiting game of when he can do things. You know, he still has all the physical capabilities. It's just a matter of when is he not going to hurt himself by running full speed or whatever that is. So at a certain point, you would think he can return fairly quickly once he gets that clearance to play. Meanwhile, JD Davis continues to have setbacks. It looked like he was very close. He hit a home run on Saturday, and then on Sunday, he was not in Syracuse's lineup because he had a stiff neck. So now, got a rest. Hopefully, he'll play a couple more games, and he'll end up ready to return at some point this week. Hopefully there's just no other setbacks and they can get his bat back in the lineup because they desperately need him. Taiwan Walker could return as soon as he's eligible off the IL. He said he feels good, but the Mets are going to play it cautious. We might see something similar to Jacob deGrom where they do send Taiwan Walker for a rehab assignment and make sure he's 100% good to go before he's activated. So maybe we don't see him this week. Maybe it's next week. But it doesn't seem like he's going to be on the injured list for too long, which is good news. Brandon Nimmo, on the other hand, is still a big question mark. He's got a nerve issue in his finger. He says he feels better. He's hoping to start a rehab assignment soon, but they can't let him swing the bat again until he's completely in the clear. He said he feels better now than he did when he started his rehab assignment, where he kind of re-aggravated that injury. It just wasn't right yet. So they're doing everything they can, but it's just another waiting game, as is Pete Alonso, who was added to the IL on Friday with a right hand sprain. Didn't seem like there was a ton of concern when he got put on the injured list, but we've seen that over and over again this year with guys get put on. We don't think it's going to be a long IL stint, and you know it just ends up extending out longer than any of us expect. So we'll see what happens with Pete. Tommy Hunter went on the IL at the same time as Pete with a back injury. So that was another pitcher who was throwing the ball really well. Who knows when he's going to be back. Seth Lugo, his rehab has progressed to the point where he is going to pitch at Syracuse instead of St. Lucie now. He is eligible to return off the 60-day IL on May 31st, and I expect he will return on May 31st. So that will be a big boost to the Mets' bullpen, giving them a guy that they can use maybe even in these bullpen games as the opener slash starter that can get through a lineup one time through and give you two or three innings at the start of a game. Finally, you got Jeff McNeil, Michael Conforto, and Louis Guillorme. No word on any of them. It seems like they're going to be on the injured list for some time, but once they get cleared for a rehab assignment, we'll obviously have a clearer picture of the timeline for when they will be back. Bottom line, this makeshift Mets, the replaced Mets, however you want to phrase it, it's going to take contributions from everyone to scratch wins, hopefully against the Colorado Rockies, a bad team. The Mets can win this series to start off their week. They can do that. They can take three of the four games. They'll be in good position heading into their series against the Atlanta Braves over the weekend. Going to preview this series in just a minute. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to get in on all of the sports action, whether it's the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, or Major League Baseball. BetOnline has you covered. They even have awards TV shows and reality TV with real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with our promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. The New York Mets have to be thrilled to return home after a rough road trip where they went 3-6. The Mets are 11-4 at home this year, and now they will start a 7-game homestand as there are no days off this week, beginning with the 4-game set against the Colorado Rockies. While the Mets are great at home, the Rockies are terrible on the road. That should be a good combination, right? For the season, the Rockies have an 18-29 record, so they're not really great, but that is really just due to an atrocious 2-17 record on the road. They're 16-12 at home. They're above 500 when they play at Coors. All told, a .389 winning percentage for the Rockies. You got to beat up on a team like this. You have to. Doesn't matter how bad your roster is, the Mets pitching staff should be able to hold this Rockies lineup down. There's really no hitter in the lineup that should completely strike fear into your heart. So this is the type of series where the Mets are just going to have to win a lot of close games because you can't expect a lot from your lineup. But the Mets at least have quality starting pitchers in most of these games set to go. David Peterson should get the ball on Monday. The Mets have not announced this just yet, but it's his turn of the rotation. He's on full rest. So got to imagine he will be the one to start against Austin Gomber for the Rockies. Gomber has a 4.96 ERA this season. In his last four starts, though, he's turned it around, has a 3.22 ERA. When you're thinking right now, lefty-righty, which one is a better matchup for this Mets lineup? I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Lindor has a little more power from the right side. Maybe that's a good thing. Jonas Schwee-Vargas, maybe he can feast on some left-handed pitching. I don't really know what to tell you, but the Mets have to win these games, and if you win them 1-0, you win them 1-0. Peterson has to be on top of his game against a bad Rockies lineup. We've seen him throw gems this year at times. Hopefully he can come through with one to get this series off on the right foot. If he doesn't, though, Jacob deGrom, pretty good stopper in game two. He will return to the Mets rotation after missing two starts because of right side tightness. He brings in a 0.68 ERA in his rehab assignment on Thursday. Struck out 8 of the 10 batters he faced in Port St. Lucie, as we mentioned on Friday's podcast. He also threw a bullpen session on Sunday without any problems. So he's good to go. So that is a very, very, very promising development for the Mets to get their ace back. And they need him. They absolutely need him. The Rockies have not announced who is going to go against DeGrom yet for Tuesday's start. At times, that could mean a bullpen game. And if it's a bullpen game versus Jacob DeGrom, I like the Mets' chances. Wednesday, it will be German Marquez pitching for the Rockies. He faced the Mets on April 17th this year as part of a doubleheader, and he threw a complete game in that 7-inning contest, allowing just 2 runs in the win. Marquez is one of the better pitchers the Rockies have. Definitely not the easiest of matchups. His last three times out, he has pitched to a 2.37 ERA. He's very good, so that's going to be a tough one for the Mets. Marcus Stroman should be in line to go against Marquez, though. He has a 2.75 ERA in the season, as we already talked about in the first segment, was very good against the Marlins on Friday night. Finally, it will be Antonio Senzatella for the Rockies in the last game of this series on Thursday. Senzatella faced the Mets on the 18th of April, pitched 6 innings, allowed just 1 run. But that was a completely different lineup. So maybe the combination of Cameron Maben, Fargas, and Khalil Lee will really spell problems for Senzatella. Never know. This year on the road, he actually has been very bad for the Rockies, pitching to an 8.59 ERA. Overall, he has a 5.01 ERA in 9 starts. Who the Mets throw on Thursday is still a mystery. Likely another bullpen game with Joe Lucchese probably featured after a really nice outing on Saturday. So he could get the ball once again as the starter. And we'll see what the Mets go with after him. We'll see if the Mets let him pitch longer this time if he is in a groove, or if they once again pull him after 4 innings and 43 pitches. I believe after the game, the Mets said that they only wanted him to throw about 50. So because he hasn't been starting all year, that does make some sense to why they pulled him early. But I don't know. Right now, this Mets team just has to kind of throw some of the rule books out when it comes to some of that stuff. If something's working, you got to ride it. We'll see what the Mets can do here. 4-game series against a really bad team. The optimist and the rational analyst in me is looking at this, says, hey, great opportunity for the Mets to stack some wins. The inner lifelong Mets fan in me sees a 2-17 road record for the Rockies on the season and sees disaster. At a certain point, the Rockies are going to win some games on the road. They're not going to lose 90% of the games that they play on the road this season. So it's kind of like where a pitcher with a terrible ERA faces the Mets, and I say, well, because he's been bad all year, he'll be good against the Mets. Something tells me that maybe the Rockies are going to bring their best game to Citi Field this week. Hopefully that's not the case, but the reality is this Mets team, without their guys, just is not that good. That's just the truth. And to be good, to rise above it, they got to lean into their pitching. And Francisco Lindor, Dominic Smith, James McCann, Tomas Nieto, Jonathan Villar, the guys that are supposed to be on this roster need to step up in a big way. And I'll keep saying it until some reinforcements come back that can maybe help out. But right now, the guys that are there, it's kind of like what Terry Collins said. If you're wearing a major league jersey, you're a major leaguer. That's what needs to happen for this Mets team to find a way to stay atop this division. We'll see what they do. Anyway, that's going to be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets. I will be doing another giveaway this week, so stay tuned for that. Also, if you want to get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes, check out the Locked On Today podcast. Hosted by Peter Bukowski, Locked On Today updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.